And Father, we just come before you. And Lord, we just pray right now for this service. There's a real sense of your spirit and anointing here. And Lord, we just pray that this service will become a defining moment for each of us today and for us as a church. We just pray over real life church, Lord, that we'll come into that season of breaking up the fallow ground. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. We just pray you'll anoint our ears, anoint me as I speak, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
I intend to finish preaching by 10 past 10. Who knows, that's going to be the first miracle today. I really am, and there's a reason for it. That's because the boys and girls are going to come in. And we're going to pray over the boys and girls to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right now, they're having teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like we're going to have. But this is what I want to do, is when the kids come in, when your child, if you've got a child here or children down the front, I'm going to invite you, parents and guardians, to come and stand with your child so you can pray for your child, and we're going to pray for you and your family in Jesus' name. And then after that, we're just going to pray for anybody who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Who knows that sometimes you need to be re-baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yeah, absolutely. So that's where we're headed. So I'm looking at the clock, and if I speak quickly, you'll know why. But it's not a long message today, and I want to start with a wonderful scripture from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is one of those parts of the Bible that is in red, because Jesus said this, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When I was 13 years of age, that was a long time ago, 45 years ago, the church that I attended in Belmont put on a one-off special Saturday afternoon service. I think it started like at 1:30 or 2 o'clock. In the afternoon, for those people who wanted to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I'd never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I heard about it, obviously, in church. And they had a guest preacher, and he was going to be at the meeting, and he was going to pray for everyone at the meeting. I thought that was pretty good as a 13-year-old. So I decided to go to this special meeting on a Saturday afternoon, because even as a 13-year-old, I remember I wanted to have everything that God had for me. Even as a 13-year-old, I was really hungry for God. Really hungry for God. You can be a child and you can be hungry for God. You might not know everything, and I didn't know much at all. But I knew this. I knew I was hungry for God. I knew that even though I used to muck around and sometimes get up to mischief, my heart still was hungry for God. Absolutely. So as a 13-year-old, I went to this special meeting, and the guest preacher, he just shared for a little while, not too long. He shared about the Holy Spirit, and then he just simply invited anybody who wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to come forward. And so I went forward along with lots of other people. And of course, I went forward because I was just really hungry for God. Then the preacher asked everybody to kneel on the floor and lean on a chair. And kneeling was really hard because that old little church had wooden floors. And so it was very hard to do. And it was uncomfortable to kneel and as I leant against a chair. And I don't think the visiting preacher understood just how uncomfortable it was. Nonetheless, he had obviously never kneeled on that wooden floor. But the point of what I'm trying to say is, I just did as I was told. And sometimes the preacher might get you to do something uncomfortable, but just do as you're told. So then, and even though I was a 13-year-old boy, I did as I was told, but I chose as a 13-year-old to ignore the pain in my knees because I was hungry for God, and I chose instead to put my attention on Jesus and to worship Him. I also chose to ignore what else was going on around me. And so as just that little boy, I tightly closed my eyes, because sometimes when other people are getting prayed for, it can sort of distract you from receiving from the Lord. Who knows what I'm talking about? Particularly if they fall over and all that sort of stuff. No, it's me and Jesus. Now, I knew sooner or later that the preacher would probably get around to praying for me, as they do. But I thought, I can't wait for this bloke to get around to me. And he might not get around to me. Who knows? He might not even pray for me. I don't know. So what I did as a 13-year-old, I decided I couldn't wait for the preacher. I decided just to pour my heart out to Jesus in praise and worship. And I did the other thing which he said was to use your mouth to praise God. And that's what I did. And the other thing I did was I surrendered my heart to Jesus. This is just so important. I surrendered my heart to him. And then I asked him for the Holy Spirit just to fall upon me. And then the Holy Spirit came to me, kneeling on the hard floor. He came suddenly, and I felt like I was just transported out of my body somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know. All I knew, it was wonderful. It was peaceful. Very, very safe, perfect, beautiful. It was like light, pure light of a purity that cannot be articulated with words, filling me and filling my head. And I just wasn't even aware. I couldn't hear anybody else around me. It was just me and the Holy Spirit. He came to me. You know what else? I couldn't have cared less whether he came to anybody else. It was me and him. Then after a while, I don't know how long that was happening, but after a while it started to subside. And I once again became aware of other people making noise around me. I became aware of the hard floor on my knees again. And yes, I spoke in tongues. That happened. Just a few words, but that happened. That was the first time, my first encounter with the Holy Spirit, the first time I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when I look back, I was actually thinking about it this morning. I thought, actually, my teenage years were actually a very fruitful season in my life when I look back on it. And that's a subject for another day, actually. And I thank God for my past experiences with the Holy Spirit. I've had other experiences with the Holy Spirit. Of course I have. But I'm very aware that I need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. What about you? What about you? Are you hungry for more of God? Are you hungry for more of His presence? We sang some beautiful songs this morning. Are you hungry for more of His presence? Are you hungry for more of His power? Are you hungry for more of God? Or are you hungry for more of other things? So many things. Life has changed over the last 45 years since I was a 13-year-old boy. Now there's just so many options. There's so many things crying out for our hunger. But today, as your pastor, I'm asking you the question, are you hungry for more of God today? Yes. And so today we could all have an encounter with God, the Holy Spirit, when we hunger for Him and His presence in our lives. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you think about it, I don't know if you have thought about this, but after saving us, which is actually a work of the Holy Spirit of regeneration, but after saving us and making us His own, God's actually called us all in this room, called all Christians, to live an impossible life, if you think about it. The Christian life really is the ridiculously impossible life to live. The Christian life is really the ridiculously impossible Christian life to live. For example, have you ever tried to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Have you ever really tried? Of course you've all tried. Because you're all wonderfully good Christians. But how's it working for you? How's it really going? How is the love, joy, peace? Patience. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How's it going for you? How's it working out? Huh? How's that character fruit? Is that the character fruit that people see in you, really? You know? How's the kindness bit going? How's the self-control part going? Sometimes it's really so hard to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life that it's kind of almost like this is impossible to be and do. Anybody agree with me, or is it just me?
Send you an email,
Dan. What about the keeping the new commandment that Jesus gave us? You remember the new commandment? You can all remember. Remember Jesus said to his followers, a new command I give you, love one another. Yeah, right. He says, love one another, and then he goes, takes it to a whole nother level. Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So I ask the same question. How's it going for you? How's the Christian love going for you? Are you loving other believers like Jesus loves them? How's it going? How's it working out? Or are you finding it hard to love in the way that Jesus loved? If you're finding it hard to love, and so do I, by the way, if you're finding it hard to love others, I'll tell you why you find it hard to love others is because it's really hard. Really, it's not rocket science, you know. It's hard to love others. In fact, it's actually an impossible commandment to keep that Jesus has given us. I'll talk about that more in just a moment. Okay, what about sharing the good news about Jesus with your workmates, your work colleagues, or friends, or family? How about that? How's that working out for you? How's that going for you? Have you led anyone to Jesus lately? When was the last time you led anybody to Jesus? When was the last time you actually shared the gospel? Does it still concern you that people in your world are going to a lost eternity? Or are you more concerned about other things, what's happening in the world of sport or whatever? What are you really concerned about? Is your life, your words and behavior, making the good news of Jesus attractive to others around you? I remember many years ago, I shared this story with you, some of you before. I was working at a company called Ampol, and I thought I was the only Christian there. And then I found out that this guy I was working with, who's one of the executives there, was a Christian. Somebody said, he's like you. But he was foul-mouthed, would swear all the time, sometimes even use the F word at work. One time it was just me and him having lunch together in one of the offices at Ampol. I remember what we were eating was pizza because the cheese burnt my lip and my mouth. You know, anyway, it doesn't matter. But I was talking to him and I forgot his name now, but I said, so-and-so, somebody tells me that you're a Christian. And he said, yeah, I am. And I said, which church you go to? And that was all cool. And then I should have been more careful. I said, well, if you're a Christian, how come you're swearing so much? And when you say, you know, when you say something, you regret that you've said it? Because it was really impolite, and I thought he would have just stormed off. And then he stopped speaking for a moment with a long piece of cheese attached to his mouth of his pizza. Then he put it down and thought, here we go. And he nearly broke down crying. He says, I know. I really want to stand for Jesus, but I find it so hard. He says, I'm going to try and not swear so much. I want to shine for Jesus. How's it going for you? Because the truth is, it's really hard to shine for Jesus sometimes, isn't it? It's really hard. Sometimes it's easier to choose not to shine for Jesus, especially when you're at school and you're the only Christian kid in your class, or at university and you're doing science and the whole stuff that goes along with that. And it's especially hard in the office at work or in the factory out the back. It can be really hard when you're the only Christian. It's hard to stand out from the crowd when you're the only one. It can be so hard for you that sometimes you feel like it's just impossible to shine for Jesus. It's something else that's impossible about the Christian life. What about healing? What about seeing miracles? How's that going for you? Have you healed many people lately? Well, the truth is, in our own strength, It's actually impossible to do a miracle. Miracles are impossible. That's why when they happen, we call them absolutely. No person is born with a power to heal other people. We can't do miracles. It's impossible to do such things. So if you've ever thought that it's really hard to be a Christian, then you are spot on. In fact, it's utterly impossible to be a Christian. You really can't fake being the real deal. Everything about the real deal Christian life is truly impossible. Aren't you glad that's not the end of the sermon? But thank God, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, come on, with God, absolutely. The Christian life is impossible to live except by the grace of God. And that's because the Christian life is actually a supernatural life. You've been called to a higher life. It's a higher life that we're called to. We're not like everybody else. We are different to the world. We got born again. We're not like the world. We are different. We are new creations, citizens of heaven. That's who we are. So if you try to live your Christianity in your natural strength and abilities, you will fail abysmally. And we all have been there, done that. Absolutely. But thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. The baptism, and a lot of you know this, I'm reminding you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about God imparting into our spirits His supernatural power and divine explosive ability. God imparts His supernatural power to us so we can live out the glorious, impossible life here on earth. Amen. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you want to live your Christian life like God intended you to live, then I need the Holy Spirit to come upon us. We need the Holy Spirit to come upon you and impart to you His divine power and ability. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. You're still alive out there today. You're still in shock right now, aren't you? Amen. The fruit of the Holy Spirit that we all aspire to see grow in our lives can only really truly blossom by the power of the Holy Spirit enabling us to live like Jesus Christ. We can only truly love one another in the way that Jesus loves us by the enabling power and divine ability of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Somebody listening? We can only effectively share the good news about Jesus with power and conviction. We can only do that by the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit that He gives to us. Absolutely. When our faith is under pressure, we can only courageously stand with courage. We can only stand for Jesus in our schools, in our universities, in our factories and offices by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. When we pray for healing and miracles, we can only ever get breakthrough and results by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we cast out demons, when we cast out devils, we can only do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who takes broken, flawed people and imparts His power into their spirits so that they can bring the authority of the mighty kingdom of God into all their situations of their life. Without the Holy Spirit working through us, then these things that we've been speaking about, they're actually utterly impossible. Whatever you produce is not by the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, well, actually, I've even found that I actually need the power of the Holy Spirit so I can be the best husband and the best dad that I can be. I need the holy power of the Holy Spirit in my relationships. Without the Holy Spirit helping me, I'm utterly hopeless and I am lacking in power. But with the Holy Spirit, we can say, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You know this is true. So when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're given a divine capacity to live the glorious, impossible life that honors Jesus Christ. And that is what being a witness to the world actually is all about and what it means. And right now, more than ever, our world needs people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. People who know their God. Our world needs real deal Christians who are burning with holy passion. Where are the Christians who are burning with holy passion? The world needs real life church to be drenched with the dew of heaven. Your family, your precious family, needs you to be red hot for Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. Your family needs you to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, everybody in this room, we could all do with being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm nearly finished. Everybody still with me? Now, like most of you, I've actually got my mobile phone here. Like most of you, I own a mobile phone. I've owned them for years. But just before I go to bed, I've got a bit of a routine, probably like you. I put my phone on charge. If I don't charge my phone, then the next day it won't make it. Actually, won't make it through the next day. It needs to be charged every night. It will run out of power. Runs out of power. So each day, it's got to be charged up. I've also kept all my old, or most of my old mobile phones. Who keeps their old mobile phones? Because you just can't bring yourself to. Because there's actually nothing wrong with them. They just got old. And they're in my top drawer in my office at home. And they haven't been charged up for a long time. My old mobile phones, look at them. Actually, they're not mine. They're just off the internet, those ones. But they're flat. My old mobile phones are completely flat. Yet if I connect those old phones to the electric power, they'll light right up straight away. Because there's actually nothing wrong with them. They just need to tap into the power. Maybe you're a little bit like my old mobile phones. I think all of our churches in Australia are full of flat mobile phone Christians.
Yes, that's
you've been spiritually flat. We get spiritually flat. I get spiritually flat. We get so spiritually flat that it actually becomes the new normal for our Christianity. It's the new normal to be spiritually flat. Well, if that's you and if it's me, let's just tap into the power of God, because you're going to light right up again. Because God still has a place and a plan and a purpose for your life. He's got to get tapped in, tapping.
Amen.
Truth is, we all need to be charged up every single day. I do, absolutely. We've got to tap into the power of God regularly. And that's why the Bible says this. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled. And the Greek behind that means to regularly be filled, continuously be filled. Instead, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And that's also what speaking in tongues is all about. The Bible says a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. That means a person gets charged up. Speaking in tongues is very, very important, everybody. And it's an important way to regularly tap back into heaven's power. That's why it's very important. But listen carefully, because I've been in this for a long time and I've seen all sorts of things happen. So listen to what I'm about to say. But the point of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about speaking in tongues. It's not the main point.
Yes.
The main point of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about receiving Holy Spirit power.
Yes.
That's what it's about. Here's the thing, controversial, and I've got 3 minutes to go. People are saying, how do you know when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And our movement's got a doctrinal position, and I don't want to get in trouble with anybody. We say, well, if you speak in tongues, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Here's another thing you think about. If you want to know you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've got power in your life. That's the evidence. You've got power. You've got power happening in your life. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is about receiving the Holy Spirit's impartation of power, ability. So everything you do points to the Savior, Jesus Christ. It's about receiving divine power to live that impossible life that God has for us. Therefore, if you come forward, I hope you're going to come forward for prayer. We need to break up the fallow ground. Amen. Come on, we're going to need it. I need the fallow ground break. I know I'm pushing a little bit here today. And I've said to Beth, when I'm saying to other leaders, we're leaning into this. This isn't just one off for this Sunday. Over the next few weeks, even when we're doing Red Letter Challenge, we're leaning in because it takes a while to break up the fallow ground. Amen. Come on. And let's do it together. But when we come forward to receive the Holy Spirit, your focus should not be on whether you can speak in tongues or not. I've seen all of that. I've seen people come for prayer. We've heard people saying to somebody, you know, you need to speak in tongues. Just say hallelujah 25 times and you'll speak in tongues. I'm thinking, what? What is going on? It's not about that. Just come, focus upon Jesus Christ and ask Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is important, surrender your life to Jesus. If you've got a hard heart, if you're half-hearted about it and not surrendering your life to Him, you'll get nothing more than a dot of oil on your forehead. Surrender your ambitions. It's not working out for you anyway. Surrender your desires. Surrender your fears. Surrender your will. Surrender your sin. Surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. Then ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you like a mighty wind. And watch out what happens to you. And then out of that encounter, you'll be speaking with your new heavenly language. Everybody good with that, what I'm trying to say? Well, I'm not trying to get you to speak in tongues. So I'm trying to get you filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you'll speak in tongues. That's what I'm trying to say. We need the breath of God upon our lives. Everybody, could you please stand to your feet?